Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast presented by PointsBet. Use that promo code CHGO to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. One last time in the regular season, Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Delmendo, 15-2. The Cubs pound the Reds, and they finish 74-88 on the season. We will have plenty of podcasts in the offseason, but this is the last one of the regular season. In fact, we'll have more podcasts this week. And then starting on Monday, that's when we'll begin our daily 120 podcast live on YouTube. You'll still be able to download them and listen to them in podcast form, but the YouTube shows will be live at 120 during the week.
I was going to say, Matthew Gregory said, can't wait for 2023 to come. And I was just going to say, hey, we're not going anywhere.
Don't have to wait. We got to finish 2022 first.
We'll be here. The chat's lit right now. Yeah. We can't see it on TV because Joey has the private chat showing and not the regular comments. But I'm looking up from my computer and
I got
a lot of people here for the last game of the year for the 2022 Cubs. And to me, I think that just says everything you need to know about how much people give a shit about this franchise. So I love to see that. I love to, you know, that's one thing that we can always hold some sort of solace with as we close this season out. Yeah. Like you can look at it as a bad thing because then you got the conspiracy theorists who think that they're never going to spend because we're going to show up no matter what. But then you can always look at it as like, well, it's different here. So, you know,
that's what they tell us. It's different here.
Yeah, they had to bring it back one last time this season.
And at 74 wins, it's more wins than last season. So as Michael Collado would say, that's a successful season.
Oh, yeah.
He would say.
Well, actually, that's Tom Ricketts, but not Michael. No, but the bottom line is they did make some improvements specifically in individual players. Was there a difference in where they are in the division? Not really, you know, although there were some predictions. I think it was Pakota rankings. Didn't Pakota have the Reds finishing ahead of the Cubs this season?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe they did.
I mean, we didn't.
We did not. We said they're probably third place.
Third place. And that's what it ended up being.
So. Yeah, I mean, Ryan, you said we'll go back at some point in the next week and look at our preseason predictions to see how they unfolded. But I know you were certainly closest to the record, but realistically, none of us were that far off.
13 short of mine, baby.
I mean, I thought Cody's was absurd, and it was still only 13 off, right?
Absurd. Yeah. I mean, I think me and Corey both had 77 wins. Like, I think me and Corey,
you guys missed by three. Yeah, you finished with the same
close
thing.
We almost had it.
Yeah.
So what was, you know, we're asking everybody in the chat and we're asking here, and we could talk about this game if you want individually, and maybe we will in a little bit, but like, what was your favorite part of the 2022 season? I know what everybody's least favorite part is, and that's the losing.
Yeah,
you absolutely. Know, the 10-game losing streak.
The one that almost was a 10 that ended up being 9.
Right.
The one-run losses.
A lot of people say some of the lineups early on, the frustration over, like, why are some guys playing when you're trying to develop young guys? Yeah. But what were your favorite parts of the season? Because it's better than what we almost had, which when we started this network was no baseball season.
True.
Yeah.
True. Oh, man. A bad baseball season is still better than no baseball.
It's weird that, like, within a week of us launching, like, baseball, like, was back, like, the lockout ended.
They heard about us. They heard about us.
The week before, we're like, this might go. Like, I think Cody predicted June.
Yeah.
Like, when baseball would be back.
I had no hope.
I might have been thinking 4th of July.
Yeah.
So.
My favorite part, Alfonso Soriano wearing the hot dad summer shirt.
Oh, yeah.
When John Lester came back and got probably the biggest ovation of the season at Wrigley Field. You know, Morel's homer first at bat. I think everyone probably has that as their favorite. Also, Suzuki's inside the park homer. That was a cool
moment. That was in Milwaukee. Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say May 17th, 2022, Cody's birthday, Morel's homer.
Brand new struck out debut, 5 guys. Yeah.
The first
and
day
wisdom
of,
goes big knob.
Yeah, big knob wisdom.
Big knob wisdom. That was the season turned around.
That was a huge day. That was a huge day. I mean, adding on to the Soriano one, that was the same day Robbie Gould was seen in the stands. Jennifer Garner was in the stands.
Oh, that's right.
Rich says,
big celeb day.
Rich says Schwindel's flat tire.
What a story.
Getting demoted
and then can't get it there, so they put him on a flight to San Diego.
What was his name? Jake, the guy that had Frank on his flight. He's been in our chat before.
Yeah, he hasn't been here in a while, but I know who you're talking about. He said he saw him on his flight. He was breaking news, man.
What about you,
Stephen? For me, there were two games that were like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh man, there remember those? Like 210?
Yeah, the 210 one was big.
Oh, those were good for vibes.
The ice cream socials. I finished big. I finished the season big.
Yeah, we had cake, Portillo's cake.
To be quite honest, this final game of the season, although the Cubs won 15-2, it felt like the longest game
of
the year.
It really was the longest game.
It wasn't a West Coast game where we were here at like 11:30 waiting to do the post game show. It just felt like eternity. Mm-hmm. So Cody brought cupcakes. I had a cupcake. And then somebody had a leftover Portillo's chocolate cake sitting over there. And at about the sixth inning, I was like, I'm not going to make it. I got to have a little cake.
Yeah.
And it got me through. It pushed me through. So it's been the cake. It's been the short games. It's been the ice cream social. It's been singing Creed at the end of the season.
With arms wide open.
Three straight shows now. Creed. Fly the W.
Matthew Gregory also throws out Theo laying in the bleachers.
Oh, that was good.
Bleacher basket. Yeah, that's right.
That was immaculate. I forgot about vibes.
That. I was going to say Kyle's 8 2/3 in San Diego. That was a quick game. And it was like, that's the professor. And
his first game against the Brewers was pretty great.
Top Gun Day.
Yeah.
Top Gun Day was big. Yep.
That was big for the Cubs and also like this show. You saw Stucky at peak performance.
Who you got was big for everybody out there, of course.
That was what everyone cared about the most was who you got, guys.
Wait till you get to the end results of that, by the way, at the end of the show. Wait till we recap what happened there.
We're going to need a graphic made by Joseph Spathis with who you got final results.
Brutal.
Other big like moments. I mean, individual performances, sure, like guys had good seasons, but I'm just trying to think of like, moments
that
Hughes was definitely one of them. When he kept striking guys out, and his family was there.
That Nico play when Stroman was pitching in right field, the 360 throw to first. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that like blew up. Wilson.
First game of the year, opening day was a great game. Nico hit the homer.
Yeah,
and then Ian Happ hit a go ahead double, I believe. And this is against Milwaukee.
They beat Milwaukee. Yeah.
It was a shitty weather day, but like. There was hope that day, right? We had hope that maybe this team would be better. If you look back at most memorable games, I mean, honestly, that game for opening day, that for me in recent history, that was one of the more exciting opening days in recent Cubs history, at least for me.
And I was going to say 2 days later is when Keegan hit McCutchen, and you
now there's a moment.
How did I not say that?
I'd say Keegan hitting McCutchen is a top five moment in the season.
Yes. And that
produced one of the biggest gifts of the year.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like that.
The little shoulder shrug, little chew the gum, walk off. Matt.
That's when I said he should be running for mayor. I still would take him over Lori Lightfoot.
Matt said naked guy having a heater.
Yeah, I mean, we had that a lot.
Yeah, that was one moment. Yeah.
It hasn't really, you know, it cooled off for a little bit. And then I actually saw him in jeans and a shirt out there. Mm-hmm. So he will not this winter be going full naked guy out on the patio, I don't believe.
There was a comeback win in there against the Red Sox, I believe. That was fun.
I will say one I wasn't at, but one that was cool to see. And I mean, this is when I came back from St. Louis. We had the pod after Wilson coming back after the trade deadline. 2-run go ahead homer in the bottom of the eighth against the Marlins to win it was a good one.
Yeah, it was
speaking
cool.
of Wilson, I guess, you know, Marquise shoved it down our throats all season, but him and his brother.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a cool moment.
I mean,
did they need to talk about it as much as they did? No.
Probably.
They replayed it again towards the end.
Yeah. Once again for sharing that.
What about the corn game?
Oh, Field of Dreams.
I forgot I was there.
I forgot about the
corn game for you. That was big.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun. That's probably, that's. Now that you put it back in my brain, that's my favorite.
Wesneski debut?
Of the season for sure.
Yeah, We got a super chat, Joey. Thank you. Okay.
David Elliott.
He says, just want to say thanks for an excellent inaugural season of CHGO Cubs. Pat Hughes is the soundtrack of the summer, and there is much to look forward to in 2023. Appreciate this show and the whole CHGO team.
Thanks,
David Elliott. Is that 1999? Oh, that's our biggest one ever.
I was
going to
say, that's our biggest one. And like, I watched the Bears post game and they got a $99 one the other day.
I feel like we just made it.
Yeah, that's our moment.
That's our moment right there.
David's been in our chats like all season.
Yeah, he's been here all season.
One of the constant people hopping in, chatting. Like, he's always there. So.
Yeah,
he just made it to the top five moments of the season.
Yeah,
maybe just underneath Ice Cream Social Day. Yeah.
Maybe you can surpass David if you send us another super chat. Okay, we got a lot of great comments in here.
Yeah,
though.
I mean,
Steve,
lit.
Cody, and Ryan did a great job right this year. Yeah, becoming Steve was nice.
Oh yes,
someone said. Oh wait, Steve. We already did that. When he became Maverick, we already did that one.
Yeah, Maverick, that. Yeah, Maverick yeah, Day. Yeah,
yeah. No,
all I'll my tell rants one. About Yachty.
Yeah, a few of Cody's rants.
We deserve better rant.
What about the Esteban Quiroz game?
Oh, the
most unlikely game. Who you got winner of all time.
That Steve wouldn't shut up about.
Got
to get points.
He still won't.
Got a two-pointer.
Jack R. says when Cody became Dell Metrics. Yep, May 17th. Yeah. That's right. 2000.
A lot happened on that day.
Numbers, guy. Yeah.
That's going to be like when we start doing on this day in CHGO history.
I turned 31.
May 17th is going to be a huge one.
2022. Cody became a numbers guy.
I turned 31, and suddenly opening Baseball Savant was like a thing for me.
No, I mean, I just want to say, like, thanks to everyone that's been on. I mean, this. Obviously you guys have spent more time on these couches in the chat than I have. I'm in the park a lot, so usually I'm only hopping in towards the end of the shows, but I get and I understand how difficult it was at times to get on here every night after a game, talk about the game, chat, try to make it fun. So everyone that's ever hopped in the chat and tried to interact with us, that's just made it easier to do our job. Like,
right.
Obviously we're super, super thankful for anyone. Yeah. Anyone that's done absolutely. That this year.
And for Rachel for making us the number one international podcast, the first one ever at All City Sports.
How did we forget
greatest
Rachel.
One ever?
We didn't forget her, but she should have been like one of the first things we said.
That's true.
For sure.
Well, now I'm hoping with the 120s in the off season,
you get her every day.
But if she's 6 hours ahead, she'd be able to join a little more often.
She probably
right?
just winding down.
We'll call it Supper with Rachel.
There you go.
Podcast name. Yeah.
Right? There you go.
Does anybody outside of Chicago call it supper?
No. I've never actually called it
supper. You've never called it supper?
I don't call it supper.
I don't. As a kid, I called it supper. It's dinner now.
It's just food to me.
Food.
What are we getting for food?
You and Steven. your McDonald's bag came in, and I thought it was dinner for everybody.
Oh, yeah. No. Just for me.
Corey left a comment earlier. He says, final post game of the year. Thanks for all the great shows, boys. Happy to have been part of some. Hey, we wouldn't be here without Corey and Brennan, honestly.
Yeah, the pitch doctor.
Jack R. said the creation of D-War. Better than F and B-War.
Facts. Don't let the facts of a good story, or what is it, Stucky?
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story. Thank you. I never get it right.
The number one rule of journalism.
Yeah, the number one rule. Absolutely.
The top of the code of ethics.
I'm trying to think what else we had. I guarantee you we're missing something. Yeah, the Hugging Brothers. Franmil pitching.
How about the epic April Fool's Day prank, Stucky? Come on.
Oh, Joey.
Do we have to talk about that? That wasn't even during the regular season,
so it doesn't count.
That's not the top moment of the season. That's the top moment of CHGO history.
Oh, my God.
Not for Ryan and Cody and Corey.
Well, Cody was the one that really got
I forgot
it.
Corey was here, too. Corey got sucked in on it, too.
So I have a theory. My theory is that was so early on in CHGO history. It was April 1st, so we were less than a month in. I think Cody held a grudge for a lot. I think he was like,
yeah, he did.
Probably did.
He's the one that started the Steve thing. He started telling people in the chat, call him Steve. Call him Steve.
It took a couple months to chip away at Cody's shell after the prank.
Everyone has learned here that I am a never forget, never forgive guy.
You cross me once and you're done.
That's why Yachty, I don't shut up about how much I can't stand the guy.
You don't like Yachty or Molina?
Yeah, if you're new to the show, you probably didn't know that.
After 162 games, I had no idea.
Oh, Pat Hughes finding out he was being inducted to the Cubs Hall of Fame.
I saw Corey say that was one of his.
The GOAT, yes.
Jack R. said, how about the trade deadline? That was like one of my least favorite parts of the season.
Well, you got Wesneski, though.
It was too much going on.
If we want to flip it, my least favorite parts, I mean, not including the losses, it was the talking about, the trade deadline every single day, it felt like.
And then since then, it's been Ms. Wilson saying goodbye.
It was a lot of that. We didn't talk about, what's going to happen with Wilson every single day since the trade deadline, because the Cubs were actually winning games, so there was actually kind of a distraction. But, I mean, I felt like every day before July, we were talking about what's the trade deadline.
How did we forget about this? Joel said the day Luke went from Steve to Luke Thickmeyer was pretty cool. Yes.
Because I was eating.
That's when you were shaking your ass.
That
was the day we live streamed the whole game with us.
We probably have
to do more of those.
Yes.
It did feel like an eternity watching that whole game.
Yeah.
Because, I like to kind of come in and out of the games a little bit, float in and out of the situation.
Wow.
I asked on Twitter. I'm trying to see if I can find it now. I asked
Molina tweets.
Do you think this Cubs season went better than expected for you, worse than expected for you, or exactly how you thought it was going to go?
Well,
you go
considering
first.
I was only three games away from my total was pretty much about as I expected.
As he flexes.
I will say that, I mean, like in May and June, like compared to like, say the season started in May and June, or what we're kind of comparing it to, it's like, then I thought the rest of the season was going to go a different direction. I think we all kind of did when they were 20 games under 500 within the first 3 months of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think they would end up 14 games under 500, but again, that was last 2 months of the season, last three really almost, starting pitching improved, which we all kind of agreed that they had solid starting pitching, not like top tier, definitely not bottom tier, like solid starting pitching that just was never healthy at the same time. And that just kept messing everything up. And so I think we all kind of agreed that if they could get healthy and be able to just have a consistent rotation for a while, they'll turn things around. And they did. And I think that's the biggest reason why the Cubs ended up finishing the season. They won 12 of the last 15, something like that. Like, third best starters year, like that was huge. So, I guess the question was, did it go about as I expected? I think, considering what I thought this team was preseason, I'd say about they weren't gonna make the playoffs unless something crazy happened. Everything went right, but they weren't gonna be below the Reds and the Pirates in the standings. They weren't gonna be a bottom eight team in the majors. Like, they kind of did exactly what I expected.
You can vote on that, by the way, on my Twitter at Luke Stuckmeyer. It's 500 votes right now. 52% saying exactly as expected. 42% saying better than expected. Only 6% saying worse than expected. I would agree with that. I think it's one or the other two.
Yeah. Now, I know I said 87 wins, guys. And Jack R is pointing that out once again in the chat. I get it. Now, I will say that it went about as what I expected, based off my thought process on how I thought that maybe they would get 87 wins, and that is play 500 ball for most of the year and then maybe have a hot streak at the end that maybe propelled them to 87 and they sneak in the playoffs and the Brewers look like frauds, like I said they would be. That was basically my thought process. And they basically did that for a half a season. The first half did not go that well. They were better than a 500 team in the second half of the season. So to me, in my eyes, I think that it was about as I expected. If you get the kind of pitching, the kind of starting pitching, and even the bullpen, despite their flaws in August, especially after the deadline, you get that kind of performance for a full year, you're going to be in it. I don't know if you're going to make the playoffs, but you're going to be in it. You get pitching, doesn't matter how talented your roster is or not. Like, I mean, I think the Guardians are a great example of that. Yep. Like, no one thought that team was going to be anywhere close to the playoffs this year. And they are. I know their division sucks, but still, like, you get pitching and you put a good bullpen together like they kind of have, then you're going to be in ball games. And, you know, maybe if some of those one run games went the Cubs' way earlier in the year, maybe they do get 80 wins like Luke predicted, you know what I mean? But, you know,
it's kind of like how the Giants were last year. We're like, I think they were predicted about the same amount of wins that the Cubs were predicted this year. And they ended up winning, what, like 106 or something like that last year. It was like, what did they have? They had really good starting pitching. They had players. They had an older roster of players, but those guys had very good years overall, most of them. And, I mean, again, it came down to like their starting pitching was solid enough to give them a chance to win every time out. And that's the Cubs could have been there. Had, you know, just the injury bug, it really hurt them so much this year.
Or if they would have kept a couple of the guys and not gone full rebuild, like, but that's part of taking it from here and moving it forward, you know, like you'll see the benefits of that. And you're starting to see the benefits of that move now. And in this off season and into next season, I would say finish wise, it's exactly what I expected. Mm-hmm. It would have been better expected had they made the playoffs, but it almost exactly what we expected, you know, below 500, third place, some big losing streaks. I would say I didn't expect the end of the season. Now, the part that was better than expected is if you're evaluating it on individual development. Mm-hmm. Steele, his development was better than expected. Thompson, better than expected. Christopher Morel, better than expected. Brandon Hughes, better than expected. Getting Wesneski, a guy that you think might be in your starting rotation next year for a bullpen guy, might be, and he might be your top pitching prospect, better than expected, right? Mm-hmm. Rivas, Hermosillo, VR, Simmons, those guys underperformed, maybe not expectations, but hopes. Right? Those were hopes you were having for some guys.
Yeah, closer probably to their floor than their ceiling. Which
And somebody like Seiya, I didn't know what to expect. So I would say he was right about the middle. You know, like I do see a bright future for him, but we were also talking like 30 home runs this season, and that didn't happen. Well, so
his last month was...
he had a great
really,
last month.
Really good. Last month, maybe a month and change. Really, really good.
And Ian Happ, better than expected.
Yeah.
He's really been, I mean, he's
Ian Happ probably had, like, I know Nico Horner really opened our eyes, but, like, Ian Happ, like, if there's any feel-good story for the Cubs this year is Ian Happ. Like, if you've been a fan of his, and you've been rooting for him to finally take that next step. I was not one of those guys. Me and Luke weren't one of those guys. We've mentioned many times, we thought, you know, this guy could get non-tendered, and he came out and had an all-star season. Wasn't just a first half thing. He did it the entire year. And we've been talking the last couple of days about Wilson and his future. Well, to me, Ian Happ is higher on the priority list than Wilson Contreras, in my opinion.
Yeah. And Stroman ended up being right about what we expected.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he wasn't early on, but by the end,
His numbers would probably be even better if he didn't go on the IL because of COVID.
No, he went on. Yeah, he went on COVID, came back. I remember him saying like he just felt like he ramped up too quickly to try to get back out there, and that hurt him. So then I think he missed like a month or something with something with his shoulder. I want to say it was. That disrupted a lot. And then we even saw a few flashes of like that one game on his birthday in Milwaukee early in the season. It was May 1st or something like that. He had seven innings, like two hits, something like that, against the Brewers. Outdueled whoever he was pitching against that day. And that was like, okay, like that's an outing, Marcus Stroman. That you'll feel confident in Marcus Stroman. And then after that, the next two-ish months were like COVID, injured, a couple bad performances. And then he comes back right before the All-Star break. And from then, so basically the last 3 months has been a guy you feel like you can count on next season to help the Cubs win games when he's out there.
And another guy that, you know, I wouldn't say I didn't have expectations. I thought Yan Gomes was a good signing. I was like, oh, yeah, he's a veteran guy. He'll be good. He'll catch some games, be good. I would say his impact was better than expected, though. Like,
clearly
young pitchers developed under Wilson and Yan Gomes. And Yan Gomes, especially in the second half of the season, where you saw that team ERA go really start dropping and young pitchers kind of pick it up. Yeah. Part of that was Wilson was hurt and Yan was catching a lot. So I do give him credit for being not only a professional, but probably better than expected.
Part of me feels like we never really, I don't want to say we didn't give Yan Gomes a chance, but like we went into the season thinking Yan Gomes was just going to be Wilson Contreras' replacement, right? Because of the deadline and everything. And he was on a 2-year deal and you're like, he's just going to be a gap, you know, a stopgap for Amaya or if they sign someone else, like if, outside of maybe that little hope we had that they're going to keep Wilson, which they still could, but he definitely surpassed any kind of expectations that I had. I mean, admittedly, I didn't really know too much about him except for the fact that he was on the Nationals when they won the World Series and, like, you know, seemed like he'd been a backup most of his career. I mean, you look at his numbers, like, it's weird. You look at his offensive numbers and you're like, this guy stinks. But then, like, the eye test does not say that to me. The eye test for Yan Gomes is like, his numbers are better than this, but they weren't. And it's like, I don't know how to understand, but I guess that goes to show, like, maybe he showed so much value on defense and maybe he just had so many clutch hits that maybe stuck out more than anything. I don't know. I really don't know, but.
Well, he definitely hit a lot better in like this last month. Like, yeah. I want to say like his WRC plus is over
100.
He
definitely went through a stretch where he wasn't doing much hitting at all, but yeah, like, I mean, definitely the last month and a half.
It's over 100. Like September, October, but again, it's like that we talked about not too long ago how catchers' value comes from their ability to, you know, be good defensive, be able to frame, be able to call a game, be able to work with a pitching staff. And clearly, Yan Gomes is very good at all those things. Just the way you could see it when he catches, you hear the pitchers talk about him, you hear the coaches talk about him. Like, clearly, Yan can do all those things well. And as much as Wilson provided offensively and how, you know, he's clearly one of the best offensive catchers in baseball. You can see it from the, you know, champions in recent seasons that even league average offensive production from your catcher is not necessary. It's not a requirement to win a World Series because it really does matter. Like, you look at, you know, Maldonado with the Astros, they're still a really good team. They're the second best team in the American League right now, but they won over 100 games. They might be first, actually, right? Are they first?
The Astros have the best record.
Right? Yeah. I don't know if it was them or the Yankees, but they're still, and they're, you know, and they're using Martin Maldonado, who isn't really a good offensive catcher like, at all. Like, he doesn't hit at all.
He's the
yes, 13 career bats with the Cubs.
Andrelton Simmons of catchers.
Yeah.
So
13 career bats as a Cub.
So yeah. Legend. So as much as Wilson provided to this team with his bat, the more value you get from your catcher is going to be from what they do with the glove and what they do being able to call games with the pitching staff. Like that's clearly what Yan Gomes provides. And I don't think Wilson's back next year. I do think the Cubs extend the qualifying offer. I think he rejects it and looks for, like, you know, go.
Yeah,
I think
agreed.
I my gut tells me the you know, relationship is over after this year. Not like, it's just like they're, you know, Wilson's going somewhere else. Cubs are moving on. And if you have Yan Gomes as your starting catcher next year, as long as he keeps providing that defensive value, you can withstand if his production, you know, dips back down again next season.
It's sort of like a choosing a point guard that just distributes and runs the offense and isn't worried about scoring 30, right? Like, that's a little bit what if it is. Now, I will say this. I said Yan Gomes played better than expected. So did Wilson Contreras. It was one of his best seasons.
That's true.
An all-star again, right? Like, Wilson Contreras was better than expected. And in addition to that, one of the reasons he was better than expected, not only were his numbers better offensively, I expected him to be swallowed up by this process of the trade deadline. I just thought the emotions were going to be too much for him. Now, the emotions were a big part of it. He talked about it. He cried a bunch of times. But he never went in this huge slump where you were like, it's just getting to him. Yeah. He can't take it anymore.
July, especially the last couple weeks of July.
At the very end, but like for the most part, it was one of his best offensive seasons. And I will say this, I'm not saying what the Cubs are probably choosing to do is wrong, because we have seen successful teams like Maldonado with the Astros. But remember, the Cubs won the World Series, and you're saying, well, it was David Ross. Yes, David Ross and Miggy Montero came up with some huge hits in the postseason. So you can't have a catcher that doesn't hit at all. You don't want that either. Mm-hmm. So
you see Yan Gomes had – there was a few games where, like, it's the Yan Gomes game.
That's
the,
right.
The game that Luke Fickmeyer was born, Yan had, like, two or three – I think it's probably two home runs. And we're like, this is the Yan Gomes game. Like, this. So, and again, his offensive production was a lot better this last month. And maybe you give that a shot and see what he can do in, full 162 as your number one catcher. Right.
Just want to point out Ravi coming into the chat, quoting Green Day. It's something unpredictable, but in the end, it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. That sounds like the Cubs season, in my opinion.
That was almost like Green Day.
Yeah.
Green shirt.
I just had to point that out. Shout out to Ravi. He's another one who's been in the chat all season long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably high for most of it, but he is a vibe, and I enjoy vibes.
You see, we have someone in here whose name is Steve's biggest fan.
No. See, I can't see the chat. I can't manage two things on my computer at one time.
Steve's biggest fan.
So I need the private chat on our screen here to go to comments so I can see
Steve's biggest fan's comment was, Steve may not have won who you got this season, but he won our hearts.
There you go. Yeah. See, thanks, Mom. All right. Thanks, Mom.
Braggs is here, too. He says, to Cody's point, that 2023 could be like 2015. In 2014, the Cubs went 73-89. Not too off this season. Get a bat, get a starting pitcher. Maybe things take a jump next year again.
That's the hope. I don't know if overall you want to call it a successful season like Tom Ricketts did, but it all depends on how you look at it and the semantics of it.
Yeah.
Individually for some guys, certainly successful. Overall, when you finish third place and you're in Chicago and you're the number one team in town.
And you're under 500.
You're under 500 and in bad division, third place, not successful. So, Cody, hopefully your gambling continues to be successful so that next season, 162 new pairs of Jordans.
Oh.
You could debut one for every... What if you just debuted a new pair of Jordans for every series?
Ooh. I don't know if I could fit that many in my apartment.
Every
guys.
Different team they play, so you only have to do division
opponent?
I've had
these for about a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are old. He's had those for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Got those. I lost out on a pair I tried to get the other day.
Before you do that, Joey, we got another super chat.
Oh, super chat. You
do have another super chat.
Woot, woot.
We got
PS5, Dat Lie. We made it to the end. Cubs win.
You're right about that.
What, PS5, Dat Lie.
You're right about that. Yeah, he's been on here for a while, too.
Yeah, he's been on here for
always
a while.
Always chatting with
the
us.
The comments.
Made it to the end. We did make it to the end. Like, who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought?
Is it over?
Not me.
It's not over.
It's not over. Oh, we'll be back here tomorrow.
Games are over.
We've only just begun.
We'll be back Friday. For sure. Corey and Brennan tomorrow. Corey anyway, Brennan. You know, last night I said SMU +3. Last I checked, they're up 10-3. I think I was looking at the reflection on the thing. So, I said SMU money line. What's name something better than Wednesday night football? Thursday night football. Name something better than Thursday night football. Friday night football, baby. I could keep going. Anyway, this football season, guys, PointsBet is bringing you a better way to bet live on games, which means before this ad is over, you can place a live same game parlay, bet on the next drive to be a touchdown and cash out on your live second half. Over bet with PointsBet, you have access to more live football markets than ever before. Build the perfect live same game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more. Choose the outcome of the next drive and next points with PointsBet lightning bets. So whether you are on the move or on the couch, do it live on PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today and sign up with code CHGO to get your first two bets risk-free up to $2,000. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services. I do not need to do that.
No, you don't. Pins and Aces, the official golf apparel partner of CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear. Get tons of compliments on and off the course. Family-owned golf and apparel business. Matt, today would have been a beautiful day to golf this morning or this afternoon. And it sounds like you have part of tomorrow to get around in, too. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, even our favorite beer sleeve, an innovative product that allows you to store 7 beers right inside your golf bag and keep them nice and cold the entire round. Check out pinsandaces.com. Use the code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com.
We got another super chat.
We've never had a show with three super chats.
This is wonderful. This is
from Fernando Rodriguez, who I don't think we've ever seen his name come up, so maybe he's just always watching but never comments.
Glad he's here now.
$1.99. Thanks for a good season of Cubs talk. Yeah, man, appreciate you for tuning in.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Appreciate it. Yeah, everybody that's tuning in, right?
Anyone that's tuning in. Again, I'll say, like, this community that's in the chat every day is,
it's not a community, it's a family, Ryan.
They're the fam now.
They are like family because we all yell at each other.
That's true.
There's some yelling,
you know.
There's always a little bickering every once in a while.
People are always yelling
at us because they don't agree with us, and then I'll sometimes the chat will be so, you know, overreactionary that I got to yell about them. Yeah.
But then Rhonda brings it back together and gives a wave emoji, and everybody feels better.
Speaking of Rhonda, this family, what would, like, where's Michael Coulade? Like, what is his role in this
family?
Well,
he's the angry uncle.
I was going to say, yeah, he's the angry uncle.
Okay. If I'm the grandfather, he's the angry uncle.
All right.
Couldn't find any parking.
They're both him and Stucky both
guy in the grocery store,
yelling at the
writing checks in front of me.
Yeah,
we had one more.
But he's right about a lot of stuff sometimes.
Joel asked, "Will Twitter Spaces or a live show be in the works if the team makes a big move?" Believe we'll try to do, like,
we'll definitely be doing live podcasts for sure.
Like, emergency pods.
Say the Cubs make a big signing or something, we'll definitely be doing emergency podcasts. Yeah.
But again, we'll be here. We'll have shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then I believe it's
Corey and Brendan on Friday,
I think, is what got decided, right?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I believe so, yeah.
So we'll have a lot of podcasts throughout the offseason.
And then when ours, stuff, yeah.
The three of us will be doing it at 1:20 on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
You might see Corey hop in. You might see Brendan hop in, too. Like,
you might see some of the Sox guys jump in. Oh. You might see Matt Peck jump in.
Yeah.
You might see Big Dave jump in. Jay Zawoski, I don't like to come on, I think.
Yeah, he's a Cubs fan.
We might mix it up a little bit, right? We might have some fun shows.
A lot of fun shows coming.
Did you see that Michael Rucker handwrote letters to every teammate? I guess in the past he's written them to coaches and clubhouse staff. But Edbert Alzolay tweeted out a picture of his, and Rucker just was like a handwritten note card saying what he appreciated about him. Thanks for being a great teammate. That's a nice move in a clubhouse. You don't get that. Like, first of all, I know what the clubhouse guys would certainly appreciate it. Now they probably appreciate a nice little end of season tip. This is where they all get their end of season big tips coming.
Yep.
But I bet they also appreciate that a major league player is taking the time to say thank you personally instead of just being like, bro, thanks.
Yeah,
like I was going to say, like, just even like 5 letters. Like, I remember when I used to have to write like thank you letters for like presents and stuff.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, my hand would be cramping. I thought I had carpal tunnel. And then, so to do that for all the clubbies, for teammates,
right.
I know he gave it to all his bullpen. The rest of the guys in the bullpen, I want to say, is something that happened. Did he give it to the whole team? Like everyone on the team?
Every player, yeah.
Every clubby, like, that's a lot of letters.
Yeah, I was thinking, first of all, if you're in the chat, send us on Twitter or wherever, or here in the chat, any ideas you have for what you would like us to talk about. We're going to spend some time, obviously, right after the season talking about grading players. But I have an idea that maybe we should each write some thank you letters to members of the chat and to ourselves. A show of thank yous.
Okay.
Just I like that.
We'll pull it Michael Rucker style.
Bye, Herb.
Michael Collada, thank you for your honesty.
I like that.
Robbie, thank you for the smoke.
Figuratively and literally.
Yes. So, Ryan is working on a story, correct?
Yes.
AllCHGO.com. Make sure, by the way, just because it's the offseason, get the subscription, get all the offseason information. He's going to be for sure at winter meetings. He's going to be for sure at spring training. So the current one you're working on is ranking top three.
Yes. Top for now. It's top three.
Top three, but yeah. We might, you know, we'll see how it goes. Biggest success stories of the season.
Yeah.
At a playoff of, yeah. Right. Tom Ricketts saying successful season.
Yeah. Tom Ricketts calling it a successful season. I know Michael Collada loves that. But yeah, no. Yeah. Playing off that clearly, 74-88, not a success, but there were individual successes in this season. And so kind of taking a look at that, taking a look at why they were successes. And I think that's something we should all talk about.
If there is any actual real success, I don't know how much you want to take into it, but it does feel like a culture is brewing here. Like, why would someone like Michael Rucker do that to every player? Like, I don't know. Like, that to me. Yeah.
No, that's what it means. I think Edbert said something like, right? That. It just goes to show how tight that group, yeah, is.
And of course, a lot of those guys aren't going to be part of the next team that held Miami to even make the playoffs. A lot of those guys won't be on that roster. But I think the process and the appreciation, it goes somewhere, and it's something that, like, that team in 15 and 16 had, and even 17 too. I understand fans not really, one, giving a shit, and two, like, not really reading too much into it. But I feel like, you know, if you've ever played competitive sports, I feel like it does mean something. You know what I mean? And I have.
Yeah.
Like, I never got anything like that. But yeah. I think it's back to when I did.
It's a lot harder to,
like,
be good at something if you can't stand the other people you're working with, no matter what it is.
Right.
It's a lot harder to be good if you're dealing with people that you don't like. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, like, Rucker is a guy who's competing for a job. And in some ways, maybe Alzolay is the type of guy that might be someone he's competing with. A bullpen job, right? But yet he's still thanking him and competing with him at the same time. That goes back all the way to what Max Bain told us. He said, not only is there a ton of talent, but nobody is going about it the wrong way. They're all rooting for each other. And he's like, that's super rare at any level of competitive sports.
Yeah, like, I remember we talked to Jordan Wicks over the weekend, and he said that when Javier Assad made his first start, when he first got called up, that they were all watching it in the Smokies locker room. They were all rooting for him and just, like, keeping, like, paying close attention, because that's one of their guys. And that's another just example of how close knit they are. Whereas, like, yeah, do they probably wish it was them making that star? Do they wish they were up there with them doing it? Sure. But just to see one of your guys getting up there, or just one of your guys succeeding in general, like, that's kind of, that's the vibe you get from this team. So, like Cody said, it's just they're going to compete for a job. Some guys won't be here next year. Some, you know, there'll be new additions that you want to make sure they're not going to ruin that culture that's starting to build. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, just what the guys that Jed's bringing in, the clubhouse that David Ross is running, like, it feels like there's a good culture in there. And if that helps lead to more winning, then that's obviously the goal. Like, having a good culture helps. It's probably the biggest variable in leading to winning outside of just, like, having good players. Like,
agree.
Like, they have to be able to work well together. So, yeah, I mean, that's you do love to see stuff like Michael Rucker, you know, just writing.
Seems like a small letters, thing, but man, it might be more than just
writing
a small
letters.
Thing.
That's a
handwriting letters, that's, not sending a text or an email or. That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Before we move on.
Yeah.
I like Lucas's comment. Joe, if you want to show it, He says, can we get Brennan to do a 3-hour analytics show with Dell Metrics? And then Brennan said, hi, Lucas. Sure, no problem. So, I mean.
Cody just got roped into it.
You want me to sit and do me and Brennan do a podcast? And I'm going to have to.
Do the math.
Do math?
Yeah, it's just gonna be Brennan like just spewing all this information for like 5 minutes, and Cody's like,
I think
like,
it's
yeah,
gonna be, if we yeah, were to actually okay. do that, I feel like I'd have to actually lead it and be like, all right, Brennan, you're gonna do a lot of talking, and I'm gonna be like, hey, yeah,
he's gonna ask you questions,
yeah, and then when we're talking about this guy and why he's so good, I'm like, yeah, his struts off the mound, I mean, and the D war of that is just off the charts.
The vertical break on his struts,
yes, absolutely.
Are 17 Holy degrees better shit. Than any other pitcher.
We just got another super chat, guys.
Is that five or four?
Four. Yeah.
Four super chats. How many did Sox get? Oh, said he got more than that.
Oh, my really? God.
The wow, Sox. $250 super chat for the Sox?
The Sox got a $50 super chat. Someone's got
that's
a top
more than they spent in free agency.
Yeah, for real.
Boom, roasted.
Sox got $250.
By the way, I was thinking biggest success stories of the season. Winning as many playoff games as the White Sox
should
probably
roasted.
Be high on the list.
All right, so Hector says, and he gave $9.99. Shout out to you, Hector. Hector Valadero, _. He says, was a pleasure watching you guys this whole season. Y'all made it definitely better. Never missed a podcast since opening
love
day.
That.
Dude, that's
I
cool.
Love that.
Thank you, Hector.
He was love here that. Every
and
day.
And I'm sure that we have, again, our family in the chat, but I'm sure there are other people that watch the show, maybe just don't hop in the chat every day or maybe very rarely.
Right.
That, you know, we'll appreciate them watching too. Like that's just getting.
Or
getting,
just listening on the podcast.
Yeah, listening on the
right?
podcast.
Yeah.
Anyone that listens, watches, like so much appreciation from our side from sitting in this, sitting in these big ass chairs that I can't even touch the ground.
That's why Ryan sits in the middle every time.
My legs are too small. Yeah. That's why the table's here so that no one can tell that.
Dude, I felt like we kept that from everyone the entire year.
That's a behind-the-scenes thing, Ryan.
Yeah, now I let it go.
It's like the local news when they play off the music and everybody starts talking and they're just going.
Yeah. Where were we talking about the article? Sorry.
Yeah, so who are the, like, there's probably like five names that are obviously vying for, if you're going to knock it down to three, one of them has to be Nico. One of them has to be Steele.
Yeah.
And then there's open debate for number three, I would think, right?
I think so.
Keegan, you're the mayor's promotional guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's the head of the campaign.
Yeah.
Ian Happ. Manager.
Campaign manager.
Yeah. Happ's
Cody Dell Metrics.
Happ's a success story in that like he finally kind of lived up to for a full season what the Cubs had or thought they had picking him. What was it, ninth overall?
Yeah.
7 years ago. Like he they saw an all-star there, had a really, really bumpy road for five seasons, and you know, was an all-star this year. Like that's where the success comes from. We thought he was gonna be traded along with Wilson at the trade deadline. Wasn't still, I guess theoretically could be traded this offseason, but I think the kind of expectation is that he's back and playing left field again next season. But yeah, I would agree, like success story. Yeah. He had a really good year, and that's even like, waiting.
You know, he's one of their best hitters. Mm-hmm. He was an all-star, and he might win a gold glove.
Yeah.
How could you not say he's one of the best success stories of the season?
Absolutely. But Keegan's up there, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he, you know, April and May were tough. And there's a reason that I didn't shut up about Keegan Thompson, because it was like literally one of the few things that got me excited. Like, yeah, Ian Happ having a great season was starting off the season hot was great. And Nico really taking over shortstop was awesome. But like Keegan out of the bullpen to start the year was fun to watch. I guess honestly, the bullpen in general to start the year was fun to watch, but the Cubs were always down there. You know, they'd always find a way to blow a one run game. But anytime Keegan Thompson went out there, he really impressed me. So yeah, I mean, you can put him on there. We talked about it yesterday. His role going into the next year is kind of up in the air, but I think whatever it is, I think he's going to be good at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's his floor is a very good multi-inning reliever like that. If that's your floor, you're clearly a good pitcher.
Yeah.
And obviously he wants to start. The Cubs I think, still see him as a starter in the future. And they'll probably build him up this offseason to do that. But again, like that's where the success comes in. It's like you saw this guy. I looked at the stat early. I don't even have it in front of me anymore. I think it's he had 10 relief outings of 2 2/3 innings or more and fewer than one or fewer earned runs allowed. That's the most in like 40 years by a Cubs reliever. Like I think in the 2000s, you know, from 2000 to now, only 19 pitchers have reached 10, and he's one of them. Like he is a good pitcher, a really good pitcher. He's a really good pitcher. And if his floor is as a reliever, that's like, if that's your worst case scenario, I think you're totally comfortable with that if you're the Cubs.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry. Michael Collada's comment just was like mind blowing. He says, my blood pressure has been great since I started watching the show. Great way to vent. You guys are definitely the best CHGO has.
Made my heart melt.
And that is my favorite Michael Collada
there it is.
Comment that he's ever left.
Ryan had a nice comment for us earlier too.
Shout out to Ryan Clark. He says absolute best. Love watching every minute of the season. Sorry.
No,
I just love all the really nice comments.
While you were talking, I was running also through my head some of the other success stories. And I had said it's probably five guys you could say. And then the more I'm thinking about it, and this is crazy to say on a team that's this far out of it and this far below 500, there's more than that. There just are. Hughes is certainly a success story for the season. We already talked about Gomes, like finding Gomes as your veteran backup catcher at the time, success story. How can you not say Sampson was a success story?
Mm-hmm.
He was. I'm not saying he's a huge piece of the future, but if you're saying biggest success stories of this season, how could you not say Adrian Sampson was on that list?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe again, not top three, but he's got to be. You got to mention the guy.
Oh, he's a guy that got DFA'd by this organization, then went to a different organization, got DFA'd by them, then got picked back up by this organization, pitched like once or twice, got sent down, got pissed off, got a chip on his shoulder, came back up, and has pitched like a solid rotation, you know, got a solid starting pitcher for 3 months, like over 3 months. Like for this season alone, success story.
How deep did he go today? Did he go five today?
Well, he got hurt.
He came out.
Oh, yeah,
he got hurt. Precautionary. I think it was three or four or something like that. I think he came out in the fourth.
Near and about as loyal as we've had.
Yeah, near and great content, guys. Enjoy the interactions and the Cubs chatting jokes.
And we always love Niren's ideas, too. So if you're looking for off-season show idea, send us an idea if you've got one. And we didn't even mention for the biggest success stories, and obviously – he's got to be top three or four, I would assume. Morel.
Oh, yeah.
Like I had zero expectation for a guy named Christopher Morel going into the
season. I barely
knew
who the guy was.
That's what I'm saying. I had no expectation.
No one knew he went from here
at 20 to now 21 and played multiple positions defensively. Mm-hmm. And how many home runs did he end up with? 16?
17? Something like that. I'll look.
Vibes alone, Cody would say he's top three.
Vibes alone. Yeah, he really did make a lot of the bad.
Yes, 16 home runs.
16 homers.
He covered the black cloud a little bit. I mean, I just said a minute ago, like, you know, April and May were so bad, but when he came up in May, man, like he lit the world on fire. Yeah. Not only the home run, but then what, had like 24 straight games getting on base? He had like a 10-game hitting streak to start his career, like. And then, yeah, he had his ups and downs, as every rookie does, but there's a lot of upside. And he's only 23. Oh, God.
Is he 23 or? 23. Oh, yeah, 23. I had the ages wrong. 23, yeah.
23, right. Like, it would be more impressive if he was 21.
Chalk it up.
And he can play all over the field. I mean, there's just so many things to like about the kid. Like, maybe the Cubs lucked into him.
Yeah.
Maybe they saw him higher than anyone else did. I mean, again, I had heard of him coming into the year, but like no one thought he was going to be with the Cubs.
He just wasn't
on
the radar because he was in Double A. Like,
right.
It was 20 is Double A, you know, 23. I think he had like a little bit of a rocky year last year. The strikeout rate was high. Mm-hmm. Like it was some things like that. And then he really, again, if it wasn't for all the injuries that happened in the first couple months, he's not up. Like, he came up because they had so many holes on the active roster, and he could play capable defense at like five positions. That's why he came up.
Ed VR was, well, he got hurt too, but
well, he, yeah,
yeah, right.
He broke his tooth.
Yeah. How young is his brother that's in the 20? Arizona Fall League? So maybe that's where I got 20.
Yeah, yeah,
in my
I
head.
Think he's like 20. Raphael.
Supposed to, well, and if he's better than Christopher, I'm all in on that. Cody, do you have a pick of the week for us? A points bet pick of the week?
Well, let's do Thursday night football. All right.
All right. All right.
The under in primetime football games this year, folks, is 9-3. 9-3.
The under.
The under. And we get two shitty offensive teams tomorrow. And it's going to be 40 degrees in Denver. Mm. I mean, just sign yourself up for a lot of punts. Maybe Matt Ryan throws yet another interception because that's what he does. I still think he's a Hall of Famer.
Maybe
day,
this is the game Russell Wilson breaks out, though.
I mean, he had a good game against the Raiders. Like, the Denver offense did play better, but I think it's going to be a lot of running the ball, some punts, maybe, it's going to be a slow game. And it's Thursday night football, both teams on short weeks. Bet slam the under. I got it at 43.5. It's down to 42 last I checked. Take the under. One, because the trend. Two, because both these teams' offenses have not been great. And Jonathan Taylor is out for the Colts. So
I'm just saying, if the Broncos lose to the Colts, I don't know what we're going to do with our DNVR brothers and sisters. Because it will be a bad scene.
I am taking Broncos -3.5. I don't love it, but I just think they're the better team. But, I love the under tomorrow.
All right, let's get to what everybody's really been waiting for, really, since the season started, and that is the Who You Got championship.
Really, yeah.
This is what everyone cares.
Sure, there
about.
Was some Cubs baseball and some ice cream and stuff going on.
And some greed.
Really, most people were worried about who's winning Who You Got for the year.
This became
who are you guys picking for the game? Who's your Who You Got pick?
Well, I had wisdom.
Cody had it wrapped up by, like, 2 or 3 points, 2 or 3 wins. I went with, for sentimental reasons, I went with Jonathan VR today. I just wanted him to somehow come through and then magically, come back, be put back on the roster, have a walk-off grand slam, and somehow that would be enough for me to overtake the final points. Ryan went a controversial way. You want to explain what you did?
Well, so I got the idea because Stucky was kind of soft the other day and said, if I win, you owe me 100 points, but I lose
and a pint of blood.
But I lose nothing if
we're
I don't.
Picking Kiros
if I don't
again.
Lose, if I don't, if I lose Who You Got, I lose nothing.
That's right.
That's soft. That's not that. That's that goes against what this game is about. So I said, putting 25 points going in. I'm putting it all on Ian Happ. Ian Happ never leaves Cincinnati with a homer without a homer. Mm-hmm. I'm putting it all on Ian.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
And I said I would take the asterisk if I won. I was gladly take it, but I'm not scared. Mm-hmm. I'm not scared of losing points. So I said, if I end up with zero and I end up below everyone, then I take it. And then Ian Happ got pinch hit 4 after 1 at bat. So
Wisdom got hit by a pitch and he hit a double. His guy didn't play.
Yeah.
So
I was in it. I was in it by not playing. VR helped the team.
He may have helped the team by not being
that's
on the
right.
field.
That's right. So
even though they won 15-2.
But the point is that plummeted Ryan.
Yes.
The bottom
I think that's
of the
bigger story.
So, Mavericks ahead of him. Who finished ahead of Ryan?
Everyone.
Joey.
Joey finished ahead of me.
Yep. Well, Joey's now takes Ryan's spot.
I'm sorry.
Joey finished third. Joey finished ahead of
All right.
Third place finisher.
Joey finished third.
Come on, just for that.
Joey
just
froze.
Just for
so
that.
Excited.
Just for that.
$99 super chat.
Whoa.
Steve's
biggest fan.
Woo. Wow.
Love that.
Take that, Sox.
Yeah. How do you like your $250 chats now?
I like them apples.
$9.99.
That guy has never left a comment in the chat.
Steve's biggest fan.
Wow. Just had to come out today. Love
wore
it.
The shirt
love
for
it. Thank
Steve,
you. Thank
right
you,
there.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
So you finished behind Joey.
Well, hold on.
Finished
no.
in third.
No. Hold on. I bet 25 points. I have no idea how many points I got from April. I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at every week I got in April so I can figure out how many points I really do have.
As of today, And I think they're official because
no,
I'm the winner.
Yeah, because you so conveniently forgot to.
Oh, no one appointed me to actually do it. I just Cody, took it over.
I feel like Cody did win more than we did. He didn't have the boldest pick of the season. That was Esteban Quiroz winning again.
It's all about the shot. It's like winning bets. It's like winning bets. Sean has this problem where he chases plus money when it comes to gambling, and that's why I have more money than him. I'm just all about winning bets, and that's how I am about who you got. It's about taking the player that you think is going to shove or go 3 for 4 that day.
Did Corey finish ahead of Ryan?
Yeah. Everyone finished ahead
of
Ryan.
Did Rachel finish ahead of Ryan?
Rachel did. Yes.
Did Maverick?
Yes.
Finish ahead of
Maverick Ryan. Finished ahead of Ryan.
For now.
And next season, there will be new rules etched into stone by the commissioner.
But I won, so.
Cody won, and for that, he gets nothing.
Yeah, I don't really get anything, but I do get bragging rights bragging the entire.
You know what you got? You got $99.99.
I would love to be able to take that $99.99.
Steve's biggest fan.
Super chat.
Thank you again, Steve's biggest fan.
That was wonderful.
That's a great way to end the regular season right there. A big super chat.
Nick G says, do rights for everybody.
Oh, now that's an idea, especially while they had that pumpkin cream cheese one they had last week.
I think since Ryan got the lowest total, he has to get do rights for us.
Hey, no. I'm the only one that wagered 25 points. I didn't need to do it.
I was leading.
I thought it was over, so I took VR. How did we forget highlights of the season? How did we forget the Wiener Circle trip?
Oh, yeah.
Being insulted at the Wiener Circle and put to work.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
And getting free cheese fries.
I actually forgot we did that until like this second.
Right?
6 months ago.
That feels like a long time ago.
Oof.
Rhonda says, great job, Cody.
We've had a lot of fun. Shout I was going to say, Rhonda came in with the hi guy. Hi, everyone.
See, Rhonda's going to. We got a $99.99 super chat and then a hand wave from Rhonda.
Yeah.
Sean Caselli asked, know who you got in the playoffs?
It could be a postseason one, I suppose.
The only thing is we're not doing post-game like of games. Yeah. So unless we had to wait till the next day.
Right, you'd have to wait till the next day to say it.
We'll see. We'll come up with something.
We could try it and see how it works.
We'll come up with something.
Special offseason.
Maybe nothing, but we'll have a
plan. I won for the season. We can do a special postseason. Well, but it doesn't go towards
I know
season.
One thing we should do is a draft of players that will be on the roster next year.
That's a good idea.
Including guys that maybe currently aren't on the roster now.
Okay.
Absolutely, for sure.
As in like active or 40-man or how? Like,
or trades or free agents.
Anyone like
anybody. Anybody, any name you want to throw on there that could be on the Cubs roster next.
First round pick. Shohei Ohtani. Here we go.
All right. Cubs win the final game of the season, 15-2. They finished 74-88. More importantly, we had a blast hanging out with you guys throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Again, we will still be here. Friday, we're going to do a podcast at 4:00, bringing you some of the comments from Jed Hoyer as he speaks about where the franchise is at, where they're going in the offseason, what the next steps are for Carter Hawkins and himself and the rest
Corey
of the Cubs.
Corey and Brennan tomorrow.
Corey and Brennan tomorrow. Then we're Friday with the Hoyer podcast. And then starting on Monday, 1:20, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
That will include, we don't want to give it away, Thursday, a super special guest.
That's super special. Just wait on
mind-blowing guest.
And we'll have guests throughout the offseason anyway.
Yeah, yes, we will. But we're going to start big. We're gonna start big.
Absolutely.
That's the plan, at least.
Before we get out of here, I'm about to go on Danny Rocket's podcast.
Oh, yeah. Check it out.
Literally as soon as we end this. So if you want to continue to look at my face, go join that. Okay.
Rocket Man.
Yeah. Shout out to the San Ranto show.
Well, and he's also the guy that breaks the cup snake a lot, too.
He does.
So, which we appreciate that. Stop the COVID cup. thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs post-game podcast and our podcast all season, and hopefully continuing into the off-season. Take care, fly the W, and we'll see you on Friday.